bourbon, and beyond. A celebration of the spirit and soul of Kentucky. September 23rd and 24th in Louisville. The world's top bourbons, paired with celebrity chefs, Louisville's top restaurants, and iconic musicians. Featuring the voice behind Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. Just like the wine we know. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Eddie Vedder. The Steve Miller Band. Also featuring Joe Bonamassa, Band of Horses, Gary Clark Jr., Amos Lee, Buddy Guy, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Chris Robinson Brotherhood, Paul Rogers. Celebrity chef appearances from Tom Colicchio. Over 20 of Louisville's top restaurants, curated by Chef Edward Lee. For the full list of artists, chefs, food, bourbons, and tickets, head to bourbonandbeyond.com. For our love of bourbon, for our love of Kentucky, Bourbon and Beyond. Get your tickets on sale now.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Laura Brim. Laura, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Hey, doing well. It's Labor Day, and it's a laid-back day here at the office. It's not too bad. Just enjoying it. Just got done eating some homemade pizza, so.
Oh, that's always good.
How about yourself?
Same here. I'm sitting in my studio right now. But it's a pretty relaxed day. Probably do a little writing, but nothing too crazy going on over here. So just sipping on some tea right now.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of starting the day.
Very nice, very nice. So you hail from Boulder, Colorado, and Colorado is beautiful. I actually lived in Gunnison for 4 years, and it's it's an amazing state. Tell me what's it like for you on because you're a creative type, you're an artist. How has living in Colorado kind of helped to shape your sound and who you are?
It's like you said, it's definitely an amazing state. There's so much nature here. There's so many outdoor activities. You can never run out of, hikes to do or mountain towns to visit and things like that. So it's very inspirational in that regard. I find myself being very inspired by nature, especially. So it's definitely an ideal place for that. I guess the one thing we don't have is the ocean.
Right.
But we have, all four seasons and, of course, lots of mountains. But we also have plains and even desert landscapes and sand dunes and lakes. So it's pretty interesting. And there's actually a pretty great music scene here too. There's tons of venues all over, especially in the Denver area. And there's a very prominent folk and bluegrass scene here. They have the Bluegrass Festival in Telluride every year, and so a lot of people are doing that style. But there's also, you can find every style of music here as well. So it's really inspirational to be here.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about, I guess, what started your love of music. I know that you are this extraordinarily talented individual.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who or what, fostered your love of music?
So both of my parents are musicians. So that really, I think, is what sparked it. My mom is a singer-songwriter, and my dad is a pianist. So being born into that, from day one, I would listen to my dad playing piano, or I'd hear my mom sing. And I think that, that really inspired me before I can even remember because I started taking piano lessons at age 5. But I was playing piano and I was singing, you know, even before that. So just being in that environment really, I think, set it off. And it was just, I was at such a young age, so I think that it was just so deeply rooted in me, almost subconscious. So yeah, that was a huge part of it.
Absolutely. As an artist, what inspires you? I know that you probably draw inspiration from so many different places. Is there one particular thing that you see or that you've noticed that, I guess, inspires you to continue to create?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's there's so many different things that can inspire you as an artist. I mean, there's, of course, other music and there's other forms of art, paintings or even things like architecture or just things that you see, traveling to new places, meeting new people. There's so many different things in our everyday life. And I think when your art comes from a very intrinsic place, the inspiration, it's just, the art is something that you just kind of do. And then everything that you kind of absorb in your life ends up coming out in your art. So it's like, if that makes sense, like it's something that's very natural. For me, I think the number one thing that stands out for me is things that are kind of mysterious, ethereal, magical, like things like dreaming or staring up into the stars, watching the clouds, without getting too whimsical here, I think that stuff like that really just puts like a feeling of awe in you, like, wow. Those are the things that I think really push me to keep like expressing that in my art.
Absolutely. Do you ever, I know that you write your own music and you're very much so a creator. Do you ever find that it's hard to come up with creative ideas and songs? Have you ever run into a dry spell, so to speak? And if so, how did you deal with it?
Oh, definitely, yes. This happens very often. I find that that writing music is kind of, it comes to you in waves. There will be moments where you're working on a song and it'll just feel, you'll just know what to do and it won't feel challenging. And that's ideal. You know, I think if that could happen all the time, artists would be very happy. because you don't want to force anything. You're going to know if it's forced, you're going to feel it. So there's definitely periods that I go through where I feel like I can't write anything. Like this actually just happened to me really recently. I just released a new EP, and then I spent like months just kind of really focusing on that, and it just kind of took all of my creative juices, and I was just really in that mode for a while, and then like once it was done, now that it's been released and I'm ready to move on, I had all of these new projects come in and I was sitting there and I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to write. So what I try to do is I just, like I said, I don't force it. I don't sit there and drive myself crazy trying to do it. So I just kind of go out and I do, other things. I hang out with people. I go try something new. I go do some activities or I just spend some time like kind of getting my mind off of music. And that can also be hard when music is your job. It's kind of hard to like clock out in a way. Like it's just kind of your life and your lifestyle. So, but I try to just really give myself a break, I guess. And then I came back, a couple days later and I wrote 3 songs in a row. So
wow.
I was very happy. So I guess the main thing is to not force it and to just let yourself kind of step away from it, you know, because it's not going to happen all the time. You're not going to be inspired every single day. But then when you are inspired, you want to make sure that you are present and that you are there to catch it and that, you know, so it can be tricky.
Absolutely. Who would you say, I guess, musician-wise, has influenced you the most? Is there a particular artist or band that has really kind of helped to, I guess,
oh, sorry, I think I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. I was asking, who would you say, do you have, like, an artist or a band that has, like, helped to kind of influence you as a musician today?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say that there are four big ones that I think kind of had a major influence on me and like kind of helped me take a turn in my music. I'd say the first one was the Beatles. When I was little, that's, you know, the Beatles were always playing in on the speakers in my house. That was my parents' favorite band. So from a young age, you know, that those songs really influenced me. Just great songwriting, just kind of you know, all the varied styles that they have over their albums. And of course, the, you know, the magical songwriting partnership of Lennon and McCartney. So that, I think that was the first one that kind of also helped spark my interest into making music and writing songs. Then it would be Radiohead when I started listening to them when I was about 16, 17 years old. And it just kind of opened my mind to, like, what alternative music is.
Yeah.
And just something that's kind of more out there and different and kind of, you know, spacey and kind of weird at times. So that kind of opened up my world a little bit more. And then I heard Imogen Heap a little bit later. And when I heard her album Speak for Yourself, the one that has Hide and Seek on it, have you heard that one?
I have.
Yeah. When I heard that album, I was just completely blown away. I mean, with her production and just with the electronic aspect of it, that really inspired me to kind of, like, I really wanted to become an artist when I found Imogen Heap. She was just so creative and so, you know, intelligent with her music. And then the fourth one would be Ellie Goulding, when I heard her doing more like pop, kind of electronic, folky music, that really spoke to me. It's like, I love that style. Like, that is, if I could pick one artist that I would say I would want to most closely resemble, of course, you don't want to duplicate another artist, but as far as like the genres go, like Ellie Goulding would be the person that I would most want to compare myself to or strive to be like. So there was quite a progression there. But those four artists like still remain to be the most inspirational to me and the most influential.
Absolutely.
And of course there's, you know, there's endless, I mean, I could go on and list like 20 bands. There's so many artists. There's just so much music out there. But yes, those would be the main ones. At least so far.
I love it. I want to talk to you a little bit about your solo EP.
Okay.
Tell me, I guess, what was the writing process like for it? It, you know, it's been critically acclaimed, well-received, and, you know, it falls within, the indie folk genre. Mm-hmm. Tell me, like, what was it like for you creating this EP?
It was, it's been quite the journey with this EP, because, you know, I've been doing vocals for EDM music for a while now, like maybe 5 or 6 years. And I haven't been doing much solo music. I mean, I haven't been releasing much solo music during that time. So this EP was kind of, has been in the back, in the background for quite a while. I've been kind of working on these songs for years. They've kind of been, they evolved and changed, and I had like the breeze concept in my mind, and kind of the songwriting style and the vibe of it in my mind, but the songs just kind of kept growing and changing, and then I'd cut out other songs and I'd write new ones and replace them. And so to finally get to a point where I had those four songs on the EP, and where I could sit there and say, okay, I think that these are, you know, I think that these are in their final form, songwriting wise, I felt like they couldn't evolve more. I mean, I guess I could have kept going, but, you know, at some point you got to just say that, okay, this is what it's going to be. And what was interesting too is that I kept trying to get it produced by someone else. I tried to keep sending it to a producer, like the vocal stems and stuff to be produced, and none of that was working out, and it wasn't working out for me or for the producer. It just wasn't the right I think the problem was I was trying to make it electronic. I was trying to like give it electronic production, and so I said, you know, I just need to produce this myself, and I just need to keep it a little bit more simple, more acoustic, a little bit more folky and less electronic, and give my audience something that's more contrasting to all of the EDM stuff. So, you know, so the process was challenging for me because, you know, I've never released a self-produced EP before. So I was also learning production as I was going. And like I said earlier, I was just really focused on it for a couple months. And it's all that I did for a couple months. So it was hard and definitely was worth it. And I'm glad that I decided to do it the way I did. And then for it to be finally released, and then to have the remixes instead of having the initial songs electronic, I think worked out really well. So it's been, all in all, it's been quite a long process.
Absolutely. It must have, you know, like I know that you're heavily rooted in, you know, EDM music, as you stated earlier. What made you, I guess, want to explore the genre of, like, indie and to do this album?
Well, before I did EDM, I actually did, I've done two solo albums when I was younger, and they were more indie pop, folky, singer-songwriter type stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, so but they were produced with my friend Nick Cocozella here in Denver, and we just made it on GarageBand.
Oh wow!
And yeah, and I mean that's really like my early work. So even though most of the music I've released is EDM, I mean, my roots really are that folk pop stuff, the singer-songwriter style. So it was me, this EP was me kind of going back to that in a way, but at the same time, with everything I've learned from all, you know, everything that I've done the past 5 years, all the songwriting I've done for EDM and the collaborations I've done, and so it was like going back to that style I did when I was younger, but it was like it was different though at the same time. So it was pretty interesting to work on a project like that again. and to find that I still really love it. So I'm going to keep going with it.
Absolutely.
As I continue and do the EDM stuff too, but I like having both.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it too. I think it's a great mix, and it just shows your versatility. You know, you're able to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's awesome. I wanted to ask you because I know that you recently remixed Breathe, and you know it's available now. For streaming. What was it like? Because you worked with some pretty notable players on that, you know, one of which is a personal favorite of Ramsey's B.
Yeah.
Tell me, what was it like working with this, you know, to make this project come to fruition?
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting process as well, because I had my management team and I came up with the idea to do the remix EP before we had released the folk EP. So when the folk EP was done and pretty much what was left was, you know, mastering and artwork and distribution. So, but before it was released, I just sent out the stems. Like I went around and I asked some of my producer friends, such as Ramses B., who would be, you know, I gave them a link to hear the EP and I said, you know, who would you be interested in doing a remix for one of these songs? And it'll be released, you know, 1 month after the original. So I just kind of went around and asked people who I thought would do a good job with it, or just people who were people I've worked with before. So I ended up just sending out a bunch of stems and seeing what I got back. I sent out some out to quite a few people, and there was a bit of a time crunch. So you never know when people have their own, you know, lots of their own projects going on and stuff. But I was pleasantly surprised to get 7 remixes back, and I loved all of them. And what was interesting is that, you know, for 2 of these remixes, for 1 of the remixes, the producers are based in the U.S. For one of the remixes, one of the other ones, the producer is based in Canada. 2 of them are based in Scotland. 2 of them are based in England, and 1 of them is based in Germany. So these producers, you know, are not they weren't working on the remixes in communication with each other, nor did they know who else was working on them at all. So to get them back and to have it feel like it kind of flowed as a remix EP was pretty amazing. It was just kind of me putting it out there and seeing what I got, and then it ended up just really working out. So I felt like really, really blessed to have that happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds like a dream come true. I mean,
it really is.
Man,
I was so happy with it. I mean, I just couldn't believe, and the quality of the production, especially after you know, how much time I've spent on the songs, and then to hear them in a new way, it was just really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. what would you say, I guess, is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your music when they hear it for the first time?
That's a good question. My hope is that my music inspires others in whatever way that inspires them. If it inspires them to make music themselves, or to go out and follow a dream of theirs, or even just for it to be a song that someone can just not stop listening to. You know, when you get into your car and you turn your phone on, your iPod on, or whatever, and you just want to listen to a certain song, you know, that feeling. That's what I want for people when they're listening to my music. So as much of a positive impact I can have as possible, that is ideal.
Absolutely. let's say 10 years from now, how do you want people to view your music, or how do you want to be remembered for your music? Because I can kind of foresee you doing this for a long, long while and, you know,
Definitely.
Having many albums, you know, and EPs to your discography. What would you say, I guess, in 10 or 20 years from now, that you'd want people to say about the music and the work that you do?
I guess it would be that it's still that the music is timeless. I think that would be amazing if people could still listen to music that I'm releasing now. If they release it, or if they listen to it 10 years from now, and it's still like, I don't know how to put it. Like, it's still enjoyable to listen to, and still makes sense in the world. Who knows what the world would be like in 10 years?
Yeah.
But I guess for it to be, to simply put it, just that for it to be timeless and that people can still enjoy it. And 10 years from now, there'll be a lot more music for them to listen to, so they can just go backwards in my discography and hear all of it. So that would be cool.
I love it. You're also, a lot of people don't know this, but you're also the founder of Electric Bluebird Records. Tell me, I guess, what led to your creation of the label, and is it tough wearing multiple hats?
Yeah, so it's in the very, 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 very beginning stages, this label, and yes, it is a bit overwhelming. As an independent musician, you really need to educate yourself and learn about all the aspects of the music industry, while also making sure that still your focus is your artwork, because, you know, if you don't have music to release, then you don't have the business side, right?
Right.
So, yes, I'm kind of just in a stage where I'm learning and I'm developing the label and just kind of getting it, just the groundwork of it. And I plan on bringing in other people on the team. Not sure when, hopefully soon. But what led me to do that is it just kind of honestly fell into place. I mean, I've had the word Electric Bird in my head for a long time, and I didn't know what I was going to use it for, but I knew it was going to be something. And, you know, with the music that I'm releasing, it's just, you know, it wasn't going to go to a major label, and it wasn't going to go to an EDM label. And with all of the tools out there and with all the technology we have in today's world, you know, it is really doable to do things on your own. And so I just kind of decided to go for it and just start this label and start releasing my music on it first and foremost, and to just kind of see what it would do. And so I don't have too much to say about it yet, but so far so good. And I'm trying to, you know, bridge some gaps between, you know, EDM and acoustic music, or EDM and folk music. And I also want to encourage experimental music rather than music that just is there.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I released so much music that you know, I found myself in this place where, like, well, where do I put it?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this? So I just decided to make my own place for it, and we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to ask you now, what's on the horizon for you in the coming months? I know that we're kind of in this last quarter of the year. Can we expect any more releases around the holidays from you, or are you working on something sooner?
Yeah, so there'll definitely be a couple more releases. I don't know exactly how many for the rest of the year, but I'm just doing a bunch of collaborations. So they'll be mostly EDM collaborations with me doing the vocals. And I'm working on a new solo single, and I don't know when that'll be out, hopefully before the end of the year. So just kind of, you know, doing as much music as I can. And then another thing I'm going to focus on is developing my YouTube channel. So creating more content for that. And that pretty much has my work cut out for the rest of the year. So.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Laura, where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of the many things to come?
The best place to go would just be my website. It's www.laurabrem.com. And there, you know, you can find all my social links, but you can also just go to the music page and hear what's the latest release there. So.
Awesome. And Laura, I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you and just if you wanted to say anything to our listening audience, I really appreciate having you on the show, and it's been, you know, to hear your story and talk with you a little bit about, you know, the things that you've got in the works, and as well as, you know, just hearing from you, your passion for music. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listening audience?
Well, I mean, if you've listened this far, I just want to say thanks for listening to the show and being interested in what I'm doing. And I hope that if you guys go and listen to the Breathe EP or the Breathe EP remixes, I hope that you enjoy it. And be sure to, you know, check out the other producers that are on the Breathe EP remixes, because they have some incredible work that under their belt. So definitely go check that out. And yeah, just thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura.
And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
No problem at all. That's what we do. Guys, that was singer-songwriter and EDM artist Laura Brem. We'll put the link to her website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iOS store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Laura. We're also available for Android users. If you've got an Android, have no fear. We're available in the Google Play Music Store. Just search Google Play, search music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. And lastly, we're available on Roku. If you've got a Roku television or a Roku smart TV, you can watch us right in the privacy of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. From the Roku channel store, just go and type in our name. It's Witten Radio. Download the app. Once you download the app, you can begin streaming all free of charge.
What's up, Loudmouths? This is Ivan Moody from the one and only Five Finger Death Punch. Just letting you know, we are coming to Kentucky for the Louder Than Life, September 30th and October 1st. If you don't have your tickets yet, you better get them before it's sold out. The Louder Than Life Festival. I'll see you there. LouderThanLifeFestival.com.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.